Shaw v. Schwartz. Ms. Henn.
Good morning, and may it please the court and counsel. My name is Emily Henn, and I represent Shearing Plow, the plaintiff appellant and cross-appellee. Shearing Plow sells the laxative, polyethylene glycol 3350, over-the-counter and without need for a doctor's prescription. Shearing Plow brought this Lanham Act claim to challenge the generic manufacturer's sale of the laxative with the false and misleading claims that polyethylene glycol 3350 is a prescription-only laxative and is Rx-only. By selling their product with these false and misleading claims, the generic manufacturers are violating Section 43A of the Lanham Act.
How is this product, their product, how is it sold to the consumers? So I'm looking at these labels on page 9 of your brief. So this is a prescription drug, so it goes to the pharmacist. When a consumer buys it, is he buying this jar or whatever it is, or is the pharmacist putting stuff from it into some other container?
The consumer who buys this product receives the package with the label as is in the record.
Just like this?
Correct.
I see. The pharmacist doesn't repack it.
That's correct. There are other packaging forms, but the customer does receive the package, as well as the package insert.
Okay, I guess this. Now, what is it you'd like the defendants to put on this to eliminate what you argue is misleading?
There are various options available to the generic manufacturers, and in fact, the generic manufacturers in footnote 12 of the red brief cite examples of drugs that are available both Rx and OTC.
I'm asking you concretely, what do you want on here?
One way to distinguish the products would be to indicate what is different about their product.
Well,
to allow
concrete.
It to be.
Okay, here's this. Is this the actual size of the container?
Approximately, yes, Your Honor.
All right. So what do you want to put? You want something on this label.
The label could indicate that
you want something on this label.
Yes, Your Honor.
What do you want on the label?
The label could indicate that it is
Breckenridge's. Could indicate. Be precise. What form of words and where?
Breckenridge's polyethylene glycol 3350, Rx only. Paddock Laboratories polyethylene glycol 3350, Rx only. In examples cited by the generic manufacturers, for example, levonorgestrel, which is Plan B, that's available Rx only to women under the age of 17. That Rx label says Rx only, women under the age of 17, and the package insert indicates even more specifically that women 17 years and older may obtain the product over the counter if they show ID to their pharmacist that will show their age.
Now, would you concede that the same drug may be available in a prescription form and a generic form depending on the dosage or usage, et cetera?
FDA has allowed drugs to be available in both Rx and OTC because of meaningful differences. And to determine whether there's a meaningful difference, FDA considers factors such as the strength, indication, route of administration, dosage form, and patient population.
Right. So then why would it be error for the prescription version to be labeled available by prescription only when that dosage or use et cetera, is indeed available only by prescription?
In this case, there's nothing on the label to indicate that it's only the generic manufacturer's product that is Rx only. In fact, the claims on the generic manufacturer's labels are literally false. They say that polyethylene glycol 3350 is Rx only on their label, and in the package inserts, prominently in the patient information section, is the statement that polyethylene glycol 3350 NF powder for oral solution.
So looking at this label on the right on page 9, if they inserted, say instead of the word prescription laxative, if they said Breckenridge's poly, if they substitute the word Breckenridge's, right, would that suffice?
Particularly over the generic term polyethylene glycol 3350.
I don't know what you're saying. I'm looking at this as prescription laxative at top and Rx only at the bottom. If they replace prescription laxative with the word Breckenridge's, would that suffice?
The claim on the label that...
Answer my question. Would that suffice?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, what is the minimum that would satisfy the Lanham Act? In your
the minimum
view?
To satisfy the Lanham Act would be to indicate where it says polyethylene glycol 3350 and RX only, that is Breckenridge's polyethylene glycol.
That's what I said. I said Breckenridge's polyethylene glycol 3350 NF powder for oral solution RX only. What more do you want?
That would suffice, Your Honor. It would also suffice if they were to incorporate whatever meaningful difference.
It wouldn't suffice. Now you say it does suffice.
I thought you were referring to up in the top left corner where it says prescription laxative, and that would not suffice. However,
if they took prescription laxative out, that would suffice?
Our primary concern...
I mean, forgive me, but can you say yes or no?
If they took prescription laxative off of the top left corner, that would not suffice, Your
Honor.
Do you, Ms. Henn... Is your position that Breckenridge Pharmaceutical just isn't prominent enough on the label?
No, Your Honor. We don't think that the generic manufacturer's logo placed elsewhere on the label and in a different font does anything to cure the false claim that polyethylene glycol 3350 is a prescription-only laxative. The patients who receive these package and the package insert, which says that this is polyethylene glycol is a prescription-only laxative, are the very patients that Shearing Plough would have targeted once its product went over the counter. These are people who have used the product to good effect to treat occasional constipation and would be interested to know that that precise drug is now available over the counter. But instead, when they look at these packages, they receive the false message that, oh, this drug is available only from my doctor and only by going to the pharmacist. These statements are commercial advertising and promotion under Section 43 of the Lanham Act. Pardon me?
What does your label say?
Our label says Miralax.
A picture of your label and the... in the record?
Yes, there is. It's attached, I believe, to the Arendt Declaration, which accompanied Breckenridge's.
So what does your label say?
It says Miralax. It uses the established name polyethylene glycol 3350. I don't believe it says over the counter. It's just by nature of being there over the counter.
It uses a different name.
Correct.
Why wouldn't advertising take care of your whole problem here?
Because these consumers to whom I was referring to, who receive these false claims from the generic manufacturers, they may see Shearing Plough's advertisement and say, oh, this drug is available over the counter. But then they look at these false claims from the generic manufacturers, and they may wonder whether Shearing Plough is indeed telling the truth, that it's the same drug. Because this label states unequivocally, unambiguously, that polyethylene glycol 3350, the drug they've used and to good effect, is available, is a prescription-only laxative. That's the statement in the package insert. Our claim arises under the Lanham Act, and as such, it focuses solely on the false claims in their label. The Lanham Act and the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act are both federal statutes, and the court ought, if possible, to give full effect to both.
You know, in the brief, you stated that the FDA proceeding addressed a different issue because that concerns whether the generic product and the over-the-counter one are the same drug product. But it seems to me that that issue is dispositive of your Lanham Act claim as well, because if they're not the same product, then it is not literally false for the generic version to state that it is available by prescription only.
The last word is where the statement becomes false, because if FDA should, in a reversal of its position to date, conclude that polyethylene glycol may be sold both RX and OTC, it will not be a true statement that polyethylene glycol 3350 is a prescription-only laxative.
Well, shouldn't you wait for that day, which may never come?
This court's determination whether the statements on the generic manufacturer's labels are literally false will not conflict in any way with FDA's determination whether these products are meaningfully different. FDA looks to strength, dosage form, route of indication, factors that are wholly distinct from the sole issue before this court, which is whether the statements in the generic manufacturer's labels are literally false.
But the FDA has to approve the label.
Right. FDA approved the label when it approved.
It's confusing. It won't approve it.
At the time
Don't
that these
they insist that the words prescription laxative remain there.
If FDA were to insist, after a court ruled that the generic manufacturers could no longer have false claims on their labels, that in fact the labels must remain the same, the result might be under the Lanham Act and because of legitimate enforcement of the Lanham Act that the generic manufacturers can't sell the product. In that instance, we would not have achieved an end-run enforcement of the FDCA, but legitimate enforcement of the Lanham Act that the generic manufacturers risked when they chose to take the action they did. When polyethylene glycol became available over the counter, they could have done one of two things. They could have stopped selling the RX version, as FDA informed them they should in April 2007, and applied to sell the product over the counter subject to Shearing Plough's exclusivity. Or they could have made minor changes to their labels to render them not false and misleading. They did neither. They chose to run out the clock as long as possible and force FDA to issue its notice of opportunity.
Minor changes have to be approved by the FDA or not?
They do not have to be pre-approved. Under the regulations we've cited, they have to be disclosed in an annual report to FDA. And that's 21 CFR 314.70 D2, little Roman 9 and 10.
I guess what worries me the most about your position is that I think you're trying to involve us in matters that are really the purview of the FDA. It may be that the drugs are identical and that the statement, you know, required by the FDA is indeed literally false, but that's up to the FDA, is it not?
There's no dispute that the drugs are the same. There's one ingredient, polyethylene glycol 3350, no inactive ingredients. There's no dispute on that point. These are two federal statutes, the Lanham Act and the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, which should, if possible, be given full effect. The teaching of the Supreme Court in its decision.
Wait to see what the FDA does.
The FDA's determination whether the generic manufacturers are entitled to continue selling will have no bearing on whether those labels and the claims in their labels are literally false.
FDA to say anything about labels?
Pardon me?
You don't expect the FDA in its proceeding to say anything about labels?
It didn't say anything about the conclusion that the labels on the generic manufacturer's products are misbranded follows from the factors I've discussed, which are distinct from what the labels say. And the legal conclusion that the labels are therefore false and misleading and misbranded follow as a matter of law under the Durham-Humphrey amendments to the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. If the court has no further questions at this time, I'll save the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Han.
Mr.
Edlin?
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel, Judge Posner, nice to see you again.
What about us?
Nice to see you for see you for the first time. Your Honors, the bottom line here is that there is no case in which following the statutorily mandated language, as is the case here, has resulted in liability under the Lanham Act. We see that in copyright cases.
Ms. Henn's suggestion that you just say Breckenridge's prescription laxative or Breckenridge's polyethylene glycol, and that's all she wants.
We are not allowed under the law to make that change. The law is quite clear as to what the label has to say with respect to that, and we are not entitled to make that change to RX only. I'm sorry?
I don't understand what you mean with respect to what.
The label is what the label says in terms of RX only and in terms of polyethyl glycol 3350. Those are words that are required by statute.
You add the word Breckenridge? You added it up above. Why couldn't you say Breckenridge's prescription laxative?
Because the statute does not permit us to say that. The statute permits us to say RX only.
Breckenridge Pharmaceutical, Inc. So why can't you say Breckenridge's?
Well, that identifies the manufacturer, obviously, Breckenridge Paddock, whoever the manufacturer is.
Why can't you add the word Breckenridge's?
Because that's not what the reference drug says. The reference drug doesn't say Breckenridge's. It doesn't say Braintree's, which was the original. It says RX only. and polyethyl glycol 3350.
Could you have a bottle that all the way around it said Breckenridge, 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 and then a label?
I suppose you could, Your Honor. I don't think that with respect to the issue before this court,
it wouldn't help.
It doesn't make any difference.
Could the defendants have modified the label to state that the generic form is available by prescription only, but that polyethylene glycol is also available over the counter? I mean, is there any evidence as to whether that would be considered compliant with the FDA listing requirement?
First of all, Your Honor, you couldn't do that. The law doesn't permit that. And you can imagine the situation and the kind of ills and mischief that would come if all of a sudden you were supposed to start putting all sorts of editorial statements on labels like this. The manufacturer is not practicing medicine. The manufacturer is producing a product, and that product, when it's a generic product, has some very strict rules subject to criminal sanctions.
These labels, the Paddock and the Breckenridge, they're not identical.
The words RX only and polyethyl glycol 3350 are, though, and those are the terms that are required by the statute. And the fact of the matter...
What about powder for oral solution? Is that required?
I don't believe powder for oral solution comes under the same statutory sections, Your Honor, but I don't think that's the part that they claim is violative of the Lanham Act.
But apparently there are optional items on these labels, right?
Whatever the optional items are,
answer me that way. There are optional items on the labels, are they not?
I believe that's right, Your Honor. What I was going to say is that the...
why can't you add another optional item and say Breckenridge's?
Because when it comes to RX only and PEG 3350, that relates back to... PEG 3350 is the statutory language that was used.
Look, you can add powder for oral solution. Why can't you add the word Breckenridge's?
Because the reference drug doesn't say Breckenridge's, so you can't do that. Nor could you say only...
The reference doesn't say Breckenridge Pharmaceutical, Inc. either.
No, that's right. So on the label, the Breckenridge and Paddock and whoever the manufacturer is identified on the label.
But you have to do that, do you not?
You do.
By law. I mean, the consumer has to know who's manufactured it.
I believe that's true, Your Honor, but I don't know with respect to the label whether that is required, and it's certainly not required under the same sections that we're talking about here. Because what we're talking about here is whether there's Lanham Act liability for using these words in this form. And there is no court that has ever found, nor I believe Your Honors could find.
Why can't you say polyethylene glycol 3350 NF manufactured by Breckenridge Pharmaceutical, Inc.?
Because in that section, when you're talking about the polyethyl glycol 3350, that is the language that is used in the reference drug, and it cannot be changed.
Look, the words powder for oral solution appear directly under it.
Yes.
You don't say that that changed polyethylene glycol 3350 NF, do you?
No, Your Honor.
Why would the words manufactured by Breckenridge Pharmaceutical change polyethylene glycol 3350 NF?
Well, I don't mean to be contrary, Your Honor, but the fact is that when it comes to the actual chemical that is used in the drug, it's polyethylene glycol 3350. That's the beginning and the end of what the statute permits you to say about it. It doesn't say manufactured by Breckenridge, manufactured by Paddock,
Where does it say that you can't say manufactured by?
Well, the statute requires, Your Honor, that it be the same. And the language of that statute discusses what it says. The Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, Section 503B1, and these sites are on pages 4 to 5 of our reply brief, so you could find them handily there. But the way the statute reads... is
the
it has to
reply brief we're looking at?
Page 4 to 5. And there, Your Honors, the way the statutes relate to one another, 503B1 states that you must say RX only. You can't say only RX. It says that it has to be RX only.
What are you reading from?
I believe, Your Honor, if you take a look at the reply brief on pages 4 to 5, at the bottom of 4 over to 5. Yeah. 503B1, a drug that is subject to paragraph 1 shall be deemed to be misbranded if at any time prior to dispensing the label of the drug fails to say a minimum RX only.
Yeah, well, it says RX only. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then on the polyethyl glycol, Your Honor, the statutes also require that that exact chemical, which is
that?
The subject of the reference drug.
Where's that? It is the, look, if they add the words manufactured by Breckenridge, that doesn't change polyethylene glycol 3350NF.
It does under the FDA. Your Honor may remember
where under the FDA. Where?
When it says that it has
say that.
Where it says that it has to be the same.
It is the same. It says polyethylene glycol 3350NF. It's not changed when it says below it powder for oral solution, right? If it's not changed by those words, why is it changed by manufactured by Breckenridge?
Your Honor, I think the answer to the question is simply that the way the law requires the label to read is to use the chemical that's used in the reference drug. Your Honor may remember.
That is the chemical. And then if you add manufactured by, how does that alter the chemical?
It doesn't alter the chemical.
Then where in the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act is there anything which says you can't add the name of the manufacturer underneath the chemical name?
Your Honor, I think you could put it below it. I think you could put it on top of it, as these labels are. I think that what the claim here is...
Okay, so why can't you say below it, manufactured by Breckenridge?
I think you could. I think that...
What have we been arguing about? You just said it couldn't.
I thought Your Honor meant could you... when you describe the chemical on the label... You're only allowed to use polyethyl glycol.
What I said was, if instead of these words powder for oral solution, it said manufactured by Breckenridge, you said that would be illegal. Now you're saying that's fine.
I thought what Your Honor was saying is in terms of describing the actual drug itself. But in terms, Your Honor,
I just told you what I said.
Your Honor, the identification...
Now, if the words powder for oral solution are replaced by manufactured by Breckenridge, is that a violation of the Act?
As long as it's not indicating, Your Honor, what the reference drug is.
Say that. Is that a violation of the Act? I've told you the only change on the label, manufactured by Breckenridge. Now, is that a violation?
I don't think that's a violation, Your Honor.
Well, that's all they want.
And would that?
I don't think, in fact.
Would that satisfy sharing plow?
No, I don't think it is.
You just said it wasn't a violation. So what's going on?
Your Honor, I think the violation that they're claiming. I think with the violation that they're claiming is when it says RX only and available only by prescription, that is what the complaint is alleging. It's the Lanham Act violation. The words RX only and the PEG glycol 3350, which is what the complaint alleges violates the Lanham Act, are statutorily mandated language, and there is no violation under the Lanham Act, and it's clear from any number of cases, that by using the words that Congress requires you to use, as we have, that there can be no Lanham Act violation.
They don't want you to take out RX only. They just want you to indicate that it's Breckenridge's and Paddock's that's RX only.
Your Honor, the label...
I don't like the implication that all is. Pardon?
I'm sorry. The label is quite clear who manufactured it. It can't be their argument. And it has not been their argument anywhere.
What was their argument 5 minutes ago?
Well, it's not the argument below. So if it's the argument now, it's improperly raised. But the fact of the matter is that
it's arguing in such a vacuum. Why don't they tell us, or tell somebody, what is the minimum change they want? Then you could tell them whether you thought that was. Have they ever specified what minimum change they want to make?
Your Honor, I believe that what they want is for the RX only, which they complain about in their complaint, and the available by prescription only, to somehow be changed to add language that is OTC.
Have they specified a specific change that they want? Have they told your client, we want to do this, and do you object?
No, Your Honor. Other than what we can divine from the complaint, which relates to RX only and by prescription only, that is the gravamen of their complaint. They want somehow us to alert somebody that this product is available over the counter, and we are not permitted by the statute to do that. And the fact of the matter is that the label identifies, whether you say it's a Paddock or a Breckenridge label, or whether or not you say this drug manufactured by Paddock is a distinction without a difference. That's not the gravamen of their complaint. Their complaint goes to, should this be allowed to say RX only, and should it be allowed to say by prescription only? And we are required to say those things on our label in just that way. There may be a proceeding in the FDA where they make a determination that would change the landscape. But on this landscape, as the judge found below, there was no confusion to the audience that these drugs go to, because this is prescribed by doctors. That audience is not confused, and that audience surely knows that there's an over-the-counter version of this drug. The fact of the matter here is, as much like in the copyright cases, much like in the Fair Debt Collection Practice cases, when you use the language of the statute as you are required by law to do, there can be no Lanham Act liability. And that really is the issue in this case. So putting Paddock Laboratories on the top of the label or on the bottom of the label is really not the issue that they seek redress for. They seek redress, as I've said, to RX only or by prescription only, or using the name polyethyl glycol 3350. That's the issues that they have. And again, Your Honors, there is no court that has ever found, nor I believe can there be, a finding of Lanham Act liability for using language that's prescribed and required by the statute. If Your Honors have no more questions, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Edlin. Ms. Henn?
Our complaint in the prayer for relief, it's at page 41 of the joint of the appendix.
Well, why don't we get straight? This is really so vague. So would you be content to be permitted to say, the chemical name and then manufactured by Brecken, whatever the name is,
Breckenridge
Attic? Is that enough, or what are you looking for?
Yes, Your Honor, that's enough. But in our prayer for relief, the injunction we sought...
I don't understand what we're arguing over.
The injunction we sought is simply an injunction prohibiting them from making the false claim, and this is at page 41 of the appendix, that polyethylene glycol 3350 is a prescription-only laxative...
But you can't be false anymore if they changed it to manufactured by...
Correct. The court would not have to concern itself with what precise language they should
but
or shouldn't
why?
Have.
Why?
The court would just need
no,
to...
No. Why would adding manufactured by Breckenridge, when the one says Breckenridge Pharmaceutical, Inc., and the other says distributed by Paddock, why does that make this case go away?
What makes the case go away is that there's no longer a false claim on their label, which is prohibited under the Lanham Act. The false claim is that the generic product, polyethylene glycol 3350, is RX only, and in the package insert is a prescription-only laxative.
And so saying manufactured by Breckenridge That changes everything.
It qualifies what they're talking about. The polyethylene glycol 3350, not generally, is RX only. That's a false statement. It's undisputed that the drug is available over the counter.
Oh, I mean,
but by qualifying that statement to make clear that it only applies to their drug, it would then be literally true and would no longer transgress the Lanham Act. There are cases in which courts have found that language in labels and packaging regulated by FDA violated Section 43A, including the Alpharma case from the Eighth Circuit, the Mylan Laboratories case in the Fourth Circuit.
Well, who exactly is misled? So what Mr. Edlin pointed out was that this is a prescription drug, and the doctors presumably know there's a non-prescription version.
They have to know that
because there are different situations in which you don't need the prescription.
If I may answer.
Well, obviously. Why would I ask you a question if I didn't want you to answer it? I think I save up my questions till the end of the argument so that...
Yes. Your Honor, the people who are misled are the consumers who are receiving the message, and they're misled because they are... These statements promote the product. They encourage the sale of the product by telling consumers how to get more. And by telling them that falsely, they have to go to their doctors to get a prescription and then go to the pharmacist, when really they could just drop down to CVS and buy what they need.
Well, I don't understand. If they get a prescription for this, and if they want more, they'll renew their prescription. Why would they be switching to the over-the-counter?
Because if they have symptoms of occasional constipation, they can take care of those symptoms without going to the expense of going to their doctor or having to get a prescription from their pharmacist or to get it from their pharmacist.
You're free to advertise that, aren't you?
Yes, and the claims that they have been making falsely conflict with our advertising.
I don't understand making a false... I don't see a false claim. I mean, I understand your argument that some people might assume that all polyethylene glycol is prescription only, but I don't see a false statement. I mean, it is. The stuff in this jar is prescription only. Want this jar, you need a prescription.
It doesn't say that stuff in this jar, Your Honor. It says polyethylene glycol 3350, which is a generic term for the drug that's also available over the counter. Also, it's not just the label.
It doesn't say polyethylene glycol is only available by prescription.
The package
has a bunch of stuff. It says it's a prescription laxative, it's this, it's that, it's 527 grams. It's not obvious that anyone would assume that there was no equivalent that wasn't prescription.
The package insert, Your Honor, explicitly says polyethylene glycol 3350 NF powder for oral solution is a prescription-only laxative.
Well, you put all your emphasis on the labels, though.
The labels and the package inserts are both reproduced in our briefs. We've focused on both of them in our complaint and in our briefs.
And what is this business about literal falsity?
When challenge statements under the Lanham Act are literally false, courts will presume consumer deception.
I don't believe that.
This court held that in Avila.
I don't believe it.
And
I think it's obviously not the law, because there are so many literal statements that are not taken seriously.
Numerous courts have held that if it's an
think about it. Can you think of a literal statement that is false and that couldn't possibly mislead anyone?
Puffery, for example, is not
right. So there is no literally false statements are not necessarily misleading.
Literally false statements made in commercial advertising and promotion are considered.
No, because often there's puffing.
If it's not puffery.
Those are literal falsehoods, right? That's what puffing is, right?
Correct. And it's the reason puffery isn't considered literally false is that consumers wouldn't...
Precisely. Not all literally false statements are misleading.
Correct. If they are puffery, they would not be.
A literal falsity is automatically deceptive.
Courts have held that literal falsities.
No, you just said the opposite, right? If it's puffery, it's literally false, but it's not actionable.
I believe that puffery is not considered literally false. That's correct.
Of course it's literally false. Right? If I'm a diamond seller, and I say, these are the greatest diamonds in the world, that's false. They're not the crown jewels of England or anything like that, but it's not actionable. So it's a false statement, literally false, not actionable.
Correct. The statements in this case are not puffery. They're literally false statements of objective fact.
It's not even clear. There's no statement that all polyethylene glycol is available only by prescription. There's no statement there.
The statement is that polyethylene glycol 3350.
They're just a series of, one-liners. There's no statement. There's no verb. You need a verb for a statement. You don't have a verb.
There is a statement in the package insert.
I'm talking about the label. How you can be so confident that the label is misleading.
What case is it that you wished to cite to us a few moments ago?
I'm not sure which.
When you were talking about our circuit and literally false.
There are several cases in this circuit that have held the literal false statements one presumes consumer harm, including Avila versus Rubin, the BASF case, I believe Abbott Laboratories versus Mead.
There's a lot of general language in judicial opinions, and if you take it literally, you fall into a trap.
I don't believe you fall into a trap in this case. In addition to the label.
You say there's a literally false statement. There isn't actually a statement.
The very first statement. No verb. The very first statement in the package insert.
Okay, now you're in the insert. Okay.
And it's in the section that's entitled patient information.
So the label isn't misleading. Maybe the insert is misleading.
Our position is that the label also, viewed in context and in full.
In context, that's not literal falsity anymore.
The literally false statement, and the generic manufacturers argue this as well, must be considered in context. And in the package insert, the very first sentence in the patient information.
False statement.
That courts have held that you look at the statement in context. For example, who.
It's not literal falsity.
I agree, Your Honor. The words are the most important. And here the words say polyethylene glycol, for example, in the package insert, is a prescription-only laxative. And that's the very first sentence conveyed to consumers in the patient information section. They are not liable by virtue of having complied with the FDA and the labeling requirements at approval. They're liable because when circumstances changed, rendering these statements in their labels literally false, they chose to do nothing.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ms. Hann and Mr. Adlon. Move on to our